All right, good morning, everyone. How's everybody this morning? All right, we're going to get started today. If you remember, I'm going to do a little bit of a backtrack here and kind of catch us up. When you do this many things at once sometimes, or break something down into so many weeks, we need to stop every little bit and go back and take a look at and keep in mind what we're talking about. And what we're talking about is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. And we said most Bibles have a heading over that. Does everybody have their Bible or any more electronic device? The only electronic device I have is my remote for the TV, my clicky. Romans 12, 9 through 21. Do you have a heading over it? What's the heading?
Love.
Just love? Okay. Anybody else have a different heading?
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice? Okay. Love in action. Those are all good. No, those are all good. But my version shows, love in action. And I like that version best. I actually looked up quite a few others. Because as we spoke about, what good is love without action behind it? You know, I can stand here all day and tell you I love you. Is that helping you?
Yeah.
Huh? It would? I love you, Sammy. You know, I ain't going to do anything for you. I don't even like you, Sammy, but I love you, Sammy. I love you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Appreciate what? I didn't do anything.
I loved your love.
How do you know I loved you? I might have lied to you. Show me. You want to love me? Show you me, right? Words are cheap. And that's what this verse is about, is love in action, that we need to see love. Even though we broke each one of these parts down, it's still something that comes out of loving and caring, in other words, for someone. Because none of this is going to work unless you truly love or care for someone. You know, usually I got a quote here someplace if I can find it. Usually I don't quote other people. I always quote myself. But Matthew Henry, I like Matthew Henry. I'd like to read a quote that he said about this. The professed love of Christians to each other should be sincere, free from deceit, and unmeaning and deceitful compliments. Well, do we ever get any of those? Oh, Bob, you look good today. As they turn their back, man, who dressed that monkey? Yeah, he should be with the organ grinder the way he's dressed today. Okay. Wife dresses me now. That's right, 3.0. But don't we get that? That's like me telling him that I love him, right? Tell him great things. Do we usually? I think it was Apostle Keith last night or yesterday spoke about having some people in his life that he can go to, that he trusts, because they'll tell him the truth. Most people, they either hate you, right, and they're going to tell you no matter what you do is terrible. You know, if I didn't like Brian, everything he does I'm not going to like because I don't like Brian. But then you get the other people that are never going to tell you the truth because they don't want to crush you. They don't want to, Sammy, you did great, you know. Even when he did a lousy job. Get advice from many sources, we've often said, right? But again, let's get back to Matthew Henry here. Depending on divine grace, they must detest and dread all evil, and love and delight in whatever is kind and useful. Detest, dread, hate. Right? Those are Christian words that you don't hear too often. The only Christian word you hear sometimes, love. There's as many. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask Pastor Don this, our resident Bible study expert. Are there more curses or more blessings spoke of in the Bible? I know it's an off-the-wall question. Probably nobody but me that counted him would know the answer.
Agree with you, Esther. I'm going to say there's more blessings. So, you know, when you read the
when you read, like in the Old Testament, you'll read a lot of the curses, you know. So, yeah, there's maybe more curses enumerated there. But I'm going to side with Esther on this one and go, there's more blessings. Bob?
Actually, you're right. And
it's
only,
right.
And it only starts, like you said, without the New Testament. It would be like 90% almost in the Old Testament. But the new, you add in the New Testament by very slight margin, like 5%, I think it was, 5-point-something% more blessings and curses, right? So curses are very, very important. There are things that God hates. God does not love everything. There's things that God detests and hates. And he's saying that those are things that we should hate and detest, right?
Yep.
Not love or not even. If we don't care about, it's the same thing. You're condoning it. Doing nothing is you're agreeing with it, right? All right. We must not only do that which is good, we must cleave to it. Cleave to something is want to be a part of it, to love it, to join it, not just do it. Because sometimes doing is just out of duty. Well, I got to go to church today. It's my duty. I'll be there. Like Pastor Don comes in here. I don't know why he loves to come and see all you guys, but he loves to come in here and be with everybody, right? He's the first one here. I think he may sleep here. I don't know. I've never beat him to church. I'm not sure. Up in the belfry somewhere. This denotes the love of parents to their children, which is more tender and natural than any unforced and unconstrained. And love to God and man with zeal for the gospel will make the wise Christian diligent in all his worldly business and in gaining superior skill. Everything can be summed up in love, right? But as much as you love, you need to go by the other way and hate what is evil. You love good and hate evil. And that's what this is all about, is the one part, the blessing part, mainly about love. How love should be expressed, right? That's a word we think we understand, but no, until you get a biblical understanding of what love is. And actually, love means so much in the different languages other than English. Love is pretty well one word, love, and it just covers a multitude of different meanings in English. But actually, this word in the Greek is the word, I kind of explained it, that they use to explain the love that a parent has for a child. And that is quite a love, isn't it? They lay down their life for their child, right? That's a great love, and that was the kind of love that he says we should have one another. Because we're all family in Christ, is what he's saying. But that's what this whole thing, this whole few weeks are going to be on, is explaining how love should manifest itself in our lives, how we should act. Don't expect to be loved. All you expect to do is give love, right? Remember, you can't change anybody. You're only supposed to do what is right, and it's right to love. You don't love what's bad, though. You love what's good.
Hold on.
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
You know, we
absolutely
never make it associated with a thing. You know, really, I mean, you have to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. And unfortunately, in I don't want to say this church, but the church as a whole, you know, that we are so accepting of things and tolerant of things because that is what's been beaten into us over and over and over and over again. But we really have to look at it and say, we need to hate the sin we see, you know. And Christians don't like to use that word hate, but you'll find there are things that God hates, as Bob talked about. But when you hate those things, that's really standing with God on the way that he sees particular issues.
And it says over and over, love what is good, hate what is evil. They run hand in hand. Like Pastor Don just said, you cannot have one without the other, right? If you're not loving something, you're actually hating it. If you're not hating something, you're loving it. There is no such thing as neutrality. That is not a word in the Christian vocabulary. Well, I'm just neutral on that subject. What subject was Christ neutral on? What question did he ever answer and say, I don't have an opinion on that? He had an opinion. He's like Pastor Don. He has an opinion on everything, right? There is no gray ground. There is no fine line. There's what's right and there's what's wrong. What is right is what the Word of God says, and what's wrong is what the Word of God says. both ways, right? That's our standard. So it makes our life easy. I don't have to think. I don't have to have an opinion. I look it up in the Word, and that is my opinion because I believe the Word of God. But today we were going to take a look at, so always remember, this whole few weeks is about love and hate, things to do and things not to do. And we've already talked about several of them. We had Ray up here. We had Jesse and Shane. They did a great job last week, didn't they? A couple young guys up here were really, really deep for their age, you know. At that age, I don't think I could chew gum and walk at the same time. So, and they're up here expounding on the Bible, you know. That's great. But today's verse is verse 12. And that says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. That's a lot there. All three of those could stand on themselves. But the point, what jumps out at me there is six words. And it's six words that you're going to hear throughout the Word of God. And that is rejoice, hope, patience, suffering, persevere, prayer. You're not going to read hardly, probably a verse almost, without some way being able to relate it to one of those six items, right? Let alone a paragraph or a chapter, I guarantee you. You're not going to pull out a chapter or a paragraph that is not touching one of those six items. They're that important. And I like the way he lays them out here, too. Rejoice in hope. It starts with a rejoicing, right? When we first got saved, what was the first thing that hit us? We were rejoicing. We were joyful. We weren't thinking of, oh, my goodness, what have I got myself into? That'll come later. But what was it? Rejoicing, right? And we seem to lose that over time. Because it becomes duty, not a pleasure. You rejoice in what? Oh, I rejoice in my pain and suffering. We rejoice in the good things, right? We have to accept the pain and suffering, and though probably it's for our own good. But do we really have to love it? No, we have to love God knowing that we have to go through something that we don't like. But I don't think anybody gets up and rejoices in it. You know, we'll thank God for the trial. Anything that doesn't kill me strengthens me. Right? Do you know what that's a quote from? I think it was Ray used it from that Chinese guy that did that book on warfare. Ming Sun Ling Lo Ying Ye. Yes, whatever his name was. I can't remember my name. You know I can't remember English names, so it's rather obvious I'm not going to remember a Chinese name. But I did read the book, and that's one of his quotes on there. And it's a great book because everything that he says, he stole from the Bible. Most of his quotes, you could read Proverbs and put it translated in Chinese, and they'd think he wrote it. And it was wrote a long time after the Word of God was out there, so he plagiarized a little bit, but I'm sure God don't care. But let's take a look. I thought today what we'd do is simply take a look at these key words and try to get an understanding through looking at the key words of what God is trying to tell us here. And the first one says what? Rejoice in hope. Okay? Yeah. All right. The key words here, these six key words we need to take a look at because they're not only in this scripture, but they're all throughout the Word. And it says to rejoice. Rejoice is, to begin with, a verb. It's an action word, right? I think I'm just going to sit over here and rejoice. I'm going to lay down and take a nap and rejoice, right? No. When you rejoice, is that how? Can you tell if somebody's rejoicing? Because it's an action. When you're rejoicing, everybody should know it, right? Woo, woo. Right? The definition is feel or show great joy or delight. Again, two words that are used throughout the word, isn't it? Our joy and delight, right? And what are they usually in reference to? Where's our joy and delight come from? Thank you. Now, some of the secular words that it meant was happiness, pleasure, gladness, delight, elation, jubilation, exuberance, exaltation, celebration, reveille, and merrymaking. I just like merry. That's a word we don't use much anymore. Let's go out and do some merrymaking, okay? I don't know. Yeah, today's world, I don't know if I'd use that. Yeah. Not politically correct, I'm afraid. But it starts out by telling us we should rejoice. Does everybody like that? Does everybody like to rejoice? But then the next key point is what we should rejoice in, right? Oh, I got my income tax check back. I'm going to rejoice. That's not what it says. No, Sammy. It says rejoice in what? Hope. No, it doesn't say Lord. It says rejoice in hope. Who said Lord? Don't get ahead of me. Well, I tell you, never have a prophet in your class. He already knows what I'm going to say before I say it. Hope. And just like Ed said, what's our hope in? We love our wife, but our hope isn't in our wife. We love our church and pastors. Is that what our hope is in? No. Your hope is in, first, that there is a God. If there wasn't, why are we here? What is the purpose? If there's no God, there is none. Then why do I need hope? Because there is none. But yes, there is a God, right? You agree, Ed? Okay. And secondly, we have to have hope in Jesus Christ, right? Because even if our hope is in God, we're alienated from Him. He's still there, and we're here. We have to believe that He did send His Son, who is Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is who He says He is, that He can do what He says He can do, and more importantly, He will do it, right? That's what our hope is in. You can't hang your hope on anything but that there is a God and there is a way to Him, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our hope. Everything else hinges on that. And if we had nothing else in our life but our salvation, should we rejoice? If we were barefoot and poor, right, in Calcutta or something, should we rejoice if we're saved? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. So that's the very reason that he starts off with that. Sometimes, remember, all these were written to a church. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm saying, remember that Pastor Don speaks about this and just about everything. Go back to basics sometimes. We get caught up. And we should go to the deeper things. But there's a time, right, that we need to stand back and make sure that the foundation is there, the basics are there, right? Don't say that you laid it once and that's it. Do you ever have to put work on your basement, your bricks, tug point them, have them clean, stuff like that? You always have to go back and make sure that foundation is in good shape. Brian? Yes, he does. He needs the exercise. He's getting a little punchy. I didn't want to say anything, but...
And if you're going to build on that house, you have to make sure that your foundation is good enough, or you have to add to that foundation before you can build on it.
Yep.
So you're always, like you said, making it more secure, making it stronger.
If you wanted to build I've got a ranch house. If I wanted to build a second story, what would be the first thing I'd have to do? I would have to get an architect or an engineer in there to see if it would hold the weight. If not, what? Have to dig a deeper foundation. We want to get more of Christ, make sure you dig a deeper foundation before you start doing that. All right? All right, are we rejoicing today? What are we rejoicing in? Hope. Always remember what that hope is. That's the most important thing. It kind of gets me sometimes when I hear people, well, I hope this is going to happen. I'm talking about Christians now, not the world. But I hope this will happen. He never says anything about hoping something will happen. It's talking about putting your hope in God. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. You can hope or unhope. If God wants to do it, He's going to do it. You know why? He's God. You're not. Sorry. The next verse, or part of this verse, be patient in suffering. Oh, we all love this one. Yes, yes. We just love to hear about suffering, don't we? That's one of my favorite topics. Hopeful. Well, you know, sufferings are light and hopeful because the Word says what? They're momentary. Do you remember what your problems were last year? Guarantee you had some. You got over them, didn't you? 2 years ago. 3 years ago. 3 years ago, I had cancer. I might have died. I'm here today. Is my worry today cancer? No. But it was then. Was it something serious? Yes. Brian, his worry now is when will his wife let him drive the Corvette again? You know? And a year from now, he won't worry about it because he knows never again. Patience, it starts off with. Patience. That is something that I have trouble with and have always had trouble with. That is one thing that I love about Pastor John. Pastor John is the most patient man I ever seen. He could win a staring down contest with a turtle. Might take him 6 weeks, but he would lay there and just look at that turtle to let turtle give up. He is a patient man. I'm not. I am not. That's something that I try and work on, but that's not part of me. You notice I didn't use Pastor Don in that explanation. When patience comes up, do you think of Pastor Don? No. But it's something that he'll agree with that we need to work on, you know. Patience is an adjective. It's a descriptive word. Somebody is patient. You know, it's not a noun because how can you manifest patience? What are you doing? I'm moving in my patience. Nope. That's like watching grass grow. It's not really an action sport. It's a descriptive word, an adjective of something. And I love this definition of it. Able to accept or tolerate delays. Hello, let me say this one again. Able to accept or tolerate delays. How many people, just think of people in the airport, my plane's delayed. Construction. Right? We hate delays. You know, we got a time schedule. I got to keep to my schedule. You know, or what happens? You die? You're going to blow up? Well, you know, if this line doesn't move faster, I'm going to have a heart attack right here. No, you're not. You'll get up there. But we hate. I hate to wait in lines. You're absolutely right, because I have no patience. I have done that. I have done that. This was before debit cards and stuff. Most of you weren't there. But yes, and I admit it, I am not a patient person. I'm not. And I need to work on that. And that's why God placed me here. You guys are giving me a lot of exercise and patience. All right. Able to accept or tolerate delays, problems. We have a problem. We want to get it over fast, don't we? We can't be patient in a problem. You know, it's hard enough to be patient on a vacation. We take a vacation. What do? Oh, we got to hurry. We only got 3 days. I got to hurry and do this. Is that a vacation? Lay back and relax. That's a lost art. Now, I can speak on this because I am an expert on this one. Thank you. What he's saying here is patience. Patience on, for what? For God's timing. Everything is about God. It's not about us. I hate to bust your bubble, Brian. I know you always thought it was all about you, but it isn't. It's all about God and God's. Well, you got the microphone, brother. You got to take the suffering with it.
I'm feeling the love today.
You feel that love? Okay.
Love in action.
There you go. You can drive my Corvette. Or, let me read this again, able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. To us, that seems almost an impossibility, doesn't it? And it is, because we can only do it through God's strength. We can only get patience through God's strength. But it's something we need, and he said, be patient in suffering, is the next part. And the reason for that is why? Do we have to be patient in the good times? God, I'm having a good time. I can't wait till this is over. Why? No, we don't have any trouble being patient when we're on vacation, right? Wow, I got to hurry back home. I got a job waiting. You know? No, patience is in something we don't like, and we don't like to suffer. This flesh does not like to suffer. It loves to be pampered. Right, Sharon? Pampered. Hey, where do you think they threw him out of Southwest?
Hey, it was a long morning, Bob.
You've had a long life, brother. Yeah. Suffering. All right, let me lay this one on you, Kim. Here's what suffering is. The state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. You have never had a problem with that. You've never had pain in your life. Anybody that's never had pain in their life, raise their hands, other than Kim. You've never had pain in your life? Oh, sorry. We're going to pray for Donna's hearing here in a minute. But again, here are two things that we need to take a look at that we're always going to hear, and we need to understand what they are. Patience and suffering, right? Do they necessarily go together? In Christianity, they do. Nowhere else. Most other religions, Buddhism and that, teach that suffering is a repentance or a pain that you have to go through to make yourself better because of something you've done wrong. That's not Christianity. Persevere in prayer. How'd they put this as last? Because that's what we usually do, right? Well, Pastor, all else has failed. Maybe we should pray. Yeah. Persevere is, what does it say? Persevere in prayer. Persevere means, it's a verb. Persevere is a verb. And it means continuing in a course of action, even in the face of difficulty. You know, we don't need to persevere when we're watching the football game. Gosh, Brian, do you think I can make it another quarter? I don't know. I don't know if I can sit here in this chair, drink my Coca-Cola, eat this popcorn. The butter's getting... I don't know if I can do this. God, give me the strength to be able to sit here for another half an hour, please.
Bob, you have to persevere to watch the Lions.
Well, that is suffering, yes. Yes, that is a suffering there. I don't have that much perseverance. But again, we have to remember why it's relating to prayer. Because whatever, if we have to persevere in something, it's something that we don't like. We don't have to persevere in the things we like. That's easy. That comes natural. We don't have to have a class on that. Everybody is good at that. It says, continue on a course of action, even in the face of difficulty, or with little of no prospect of success. That is very important. When God tells you to do something, do we say that ain't never going to work? That ain't never going to happen? Come on now, we've said that. God, you know, okay, strike one, God, you made your first mistake. You know, that one isn't going to happen. There's no way that's going to work, right? I don't see the purpose in that. Right? Again, you're not God. I'm not God. God knows. And even if nothing happens, maybe that was his purpose for nothing to happen. Right? We don't know. That is not our job to figure out why God does something. little or no success. If we do it, if God asks you to do something and you do it, boom, done. You're successful. It's over. Don't worry about the outcome. That's God's. The very fact that you did what he said is the only thing that he expects of you, right? Automatically, it's success. You know, how did class go today? You ever ask somebody that? How was class today? How was that last meeting? It was a success. God asked the pastors to put it on. They asked somebody to teach it. The Holy Spirit was there. The outcome is what we were thinking. Would a whole bunch of people come? Did a bunch of people get saved? Did a bunch of people learn something? Again, that's not our concern. Our concern is to try to do what we're told, to put the class together, to teach it, right? And it's your job to try and learn something out of it. There's a success in doing it. There's your success is already done. We can all be successful. Simply do it. All right? Some of the words, again, are to persist, to continue, to carry on, to keep on keeping. Keep going, struggle on, hammer away, be persistent, be determined, follow and see things through. You get the idea, right? To the very end. When is the end? When God says it's over. And you know what? Can we rejoice in that? For like 1 second, then he's going to give you something else. Has God here ever tapped anybody and said, Fred, you've been working so hard, you've been doing so much for me lately. Take a month off, brother. Anybody, has God ever said that to anybody? Okay. I was worried because if he had, I was going to have you pray for me. I thought I was missing something. But it said to be persistent. Again, it's things that, what, we don't like to do, that are hard to do, that we might not see a result. And then all of a sudden he throws prayer in there. Is prayer a hard thing to do? Be honest. Is prayer a hard thing to do? It is, isn't it? Because we have to get in the presence of God. And we don't like to get in the presence of God because he's going to tell us to do something. And whatever it is, it's work and I don't want to do it. Get somebody else. You want me to go find somebody to do it, God? I'll ask me that. I'll get Brian to do it in a minute. But it says to persevere in prayer. A good definition of prayer is simply speaking with God. I like the old analogy or the old description. I heard this a long time back, and I think it's pretty good. Prayer is a request to God, you know. There are prayers of thanksgiving and so forth, but usually it's we go to God with a request. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? You should go being thankful first, but putting a request before God is fine. A request to God through Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, not born again, why would he have to listen to your prayers? He'll hear them. He hears the prayers of the heathen. Many heathens pray when they have to. When a gun's at their head or they're drowning, they'll pray. At the bars, yes, I've heard some great prayers at the bar. But it's a request of God through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. It's got to be Spirit-led. That's why the Word says we can have anything we want in prayer. If we're praying led by the Spirit, you know, if not, the truth was we'd all have a Corvette sitting in our driveway. Do you have one, Donna? Then you must be in sin, right? Where's your faith? That's not what it says. It says prayer is through the Holy Spirit. Pray as the Holy Spirit leads you. And I guarantee you, you'll receive it. Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to close today. So, Brian, would you choose somebody to close? And thank you for coming out today. All right. Good choice, Brian. Good choice.
Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful word this morning and to help us get started for the message that we're about to receive downstairs. And, Lord willing, that we'll be able to receive what Apostle Tusi is going to teach us down there, and
yes,
that we enjoy the rest of our day in fellowship. Amen.